Hi, everyone, and welcome to the 50th episode of the
Language Mandarins Podcast, or should I call it the Creative Language Mandarins Podcast, in honor of my two wonderful guests today. We have on here Lindsay Dow of Lindsay Does Languages and Kirsten Cable, fluentlanguage.co.uk, and together they are the dynamic duo behind the Creative Language Learning Podcast. So thank you very much for coming on the show. It's wonderful to have you. How are you doing?
Hey, Jonathan.
Thank you. It's very fun to be here. Thanks for inviting us on.
Yeah, and I just want to say first and foremost, thank you so much for how approachable, how accessible the two of you have been in the past month and a half. I've probably been kind of stalking the two of you on Twitter and Facebook and trying to network my way into the language learning community, but I've been so surprised at what a wonderful community it is that everybody wants to collaborate. So thank you so much. I appreciate just the support that you give to fellow learners and fellow teachers. It's wonderful.
Absolutely.
Oh, you are welcome.
It's
Donata.
It's a funny one to say the language learning community, right? As if there's only one, when the community is so large and there's so many people out there. And I certainly feel like, you know, I mean, I think with the podcast, we're in a really cool space, the Creative Language Learning Podcast. I love that it's a conversation between two people. It just makes me really happy that we get to share that. And, you know, people get to feel like they're hanging out with us, hopefully.
It's exactly how I feel when I'm listening to the conversations.
Good. But in terms of a language learning community, oh man, I feel like I'm barely scratching the surface. Like, I don't, you know, I just can't. How many people are there, like, language learning and connecting online and stuff? And I don't know. Like, you get to meet somebody new every day, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we should say communities, yeah, to be fair to, because there's so many out there. It's like a diamond in the rough. You discover a new language, you discover just all these people who are learning that. And I would just want to say, like, to start with you first, Lindsay, a couple questions. I've heard in some of your conversations and some other interviews that you started with French and in elementary school. And after that, you got into Spanish. So I just want to mention, like, I did the opposite, which seems kind of interesting when I'm listening to your experience, because I started Spanish in my first year of high school. And then 2 years after that, I decided to start French. And my Spanish really sped up French. It's funny when I listen to you talk about Shakira, I got started with her with Pies Descalzos. So even earlier than you.
I love how you say I got started with her, as if it's like part of the Spanish language learning journey, which essentially it is, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, I mean, she's made herself into, like, everybody learning Spanish needs to know about her lyrics and her music. But this was like back in, I don't know, 98 or so, my Spanish teacher said, like, hey, we're going to listen to this new Colombian artist that I found, and we had to do these gap fills with Ya Estoy Aquí.
Wow.
That was kind of cool.
That's so much fun.
Did any of you guys ever, this is probably the first time I have admitted this, but then did any of you guys ever in Spanish lessons do the song Acerejé?
Acerejé.
Oh, like Last Ketchup.
The ketchup song.
No, I'm not familiar with that, no.
That must be the time
that
I was learning.
I think it's
Spanish.
A bit Europop. I think it's proper Europop, Kirsten. I don't know if it's ever made its way across the Atlantic. Jonathan, that's probably a good thing for you and your ears. It doesn't happen anymore, but in like the 90s and the early noughties, it used to be the case that every single summer, people would go on holiday, sort of en masse, and they would come back. And in September, there was this fever of, ooh, what's that hot Europop song going to be from the summer that makes it straight up the charts to number one? Every single summer, just sort of throughout my childhood. And I would say that the ketchup song was probably one of the last ones to do it. Now it just doesn't happen. But the ketchup song is like a really bad half Spanish song.
Yes, it's
and it's quite
nonsense.
What are the lyrics? What's it about?
It's Spanglish in the verses.
Okay.
It's like I don't know, I can barely, I'm not going to sing it now, but we all learned the chorus when I was doing Spanish lessons, I think just because I was doing them in 2002, 2003, which is when that was like the big summer hit, and the chorus is complete nonsense, so it's just Spanish sounding gibberish.
Okay. Yeah, I'll have to find this on YouTube and include this to the listener's delight in the show.
It's got a little dance as well. You can learn the dance in the video.
There's dance. Yeah, not quite Macarena standard, but there is dance.
No, yeah. certainly not Shakira.
No, there's nothing like her. And and my question leading up to that is, I have a lot more connection with the third language, French. That's one like where I seem to have like, I figured out what I was doing wrong with the first foreign language, Spanish. Now I could do everything right with French. How do you feel with your French and Spanish? Do you feel like, okay, French got your, like, has helped you with your Spanish and you like perform a lot better in Spanish or with French?
That's very interesting you feel that way, because I feel the same way. I feel much more of an affinity with Spanish as my second language, but I don't know, as my second foreign language, I should say, but I don't know if there are different kind of factors at play. The things with French to consider is that I did it in primary school because they gave us croissants at the end of term. I didn't really care about like, wow, this language is amazing and I want to be part of their culture and I want to learn as much. I didn't care about that. I was like 7 years old. So I just went and I did it and it was fun and we learned some words. We played Duck Duck Goose. You know, it was enjoyable. But then as it went on, it just became, in secondary school, it became a bit more of a drag. And it was like just something we had to do for those 3 years. And so, but I was good at it, but I never really considered that it was a passion or like a huge interest, but it was Spanish really. And again, primarily Shakira is a huge driving force in this, that I wanted to do Spanish at GCSE, which is, I don't know what the American equivalent is. It's what you study for exams kind of age 14 to 16 before you go on to you then break school and go to do A levels. I don't know.
No, we don't really have something like that. I guess the closest thing would be like SATs, but that's just to get into the university. We don't really have a specific like end of program.
It would be
program.
Before. Mm-hmm. It's kind of before what you do before university. So like the step before. And to study Spanish at that level, they said to me in school, you have to do French. So I ended up keeping both. But the Spanish for me, I had an interest from the beginning,
mm-hmm.
because I thought, this is a fun language. It's going to be easy because I've already done French. They're going to be, it's a language and I know kind of how it works. The countries are next to each other. There's going to be some similarities there and I want to do it. So there was that difference from day one. But then also things like with Spanish, for example, I went to Costa Rica for 3 months and I lived with a local family and I was totally immersed in Spanish. So there's that to consider as well, in that I'm going to love that language more because I had an amazing experience with that language. Whereas with French, I worked in a cinema, in a French cinema for a week, but that's it. There was no huge life-changing experience associated with that language for me. So I think, yeah, Spanish, I do feel like, yeah, I know where I went wrong perhaps with French. And so I kind of corrected my mistakes second time around.
Mm-hmm.
But then also the whole Costa Rica thing really, really changes that for me as well. So it's difficult to say if it was a case of, boom, I'm going to do better, because the factors are different. But it's interesting you say the same thing, that the second one was, I think it's always, I mean, Kirsten, what was your...
What were your two languages?
What were my first and second foreign language? It was different for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was very different for me. My first foreign language was English. And I was instantly really good at it. Just always, you know, like that was my school subject where I just got A's and things, and it, not effortless, of course, but if there was any effort, I enjoyed putting the effort in. I wanted to put the effort in. I just really enjoyed English right from the start. French was, well, first of all, they did that thing that you don't do to a questioner, which is they gave me a choice. They went, would you like to, or you know, they give you a choice. In my school it was compulsory either to study French or to study Latin. So then I had to, like make a decision of whether I study French and Latin, and as a consequence of which I may not have been, I may have had some buyer's remorse, even though I liked French, but you know, may have not been entirely as committed to French as I could have been. And I always stuck with it, but it always felt like effort, like work. English did too, but in a different way. English felt like this is the work I'm doing in order to change my life. I'm moving to England, blah, blah, blah. You know, I was just totally into it. And then my third foreign language, Italian, was one that was offered to us on a voluntary basis. So we had compulsory, you must do either French or Latin, which was, you've got to do this, but we're making you make a choice, which was horrible. But then it was, you could take after school kind of, you know, just add-on lessons. You know how you do drama club or something like that? And one of them was, my school offered after school Italian or Spanish, or I think French to the Latin learners. And I kind of took after school Italian. And it felt so much less important. It didn't really matter what grade you get. I mean, I did okay, but, you know, it just wasn't, I didn't feel the grade pressure. And the kind of joy of it came back. And Italian was great. Then I did take Latin when I was in year 11 in school. I did kind of add it on. So I just kept adding on languages. And French never stopped feeling like the one that's like, oh, this one's an effort. And even now in French, I don't feel anywhere near as secure as I do even in Spanish, even though I can actually speak French and I can't speak Spanish very well at all. But I don't know. It always felt heavy.
Donc, si on passe en français, ça va être difficile pour vous deux?
Non, pas du tout.
D'accord.
Non, nous pourrions parler en français, mais c'est toujours un peu... Ça me souvient un peu de l'école et de l'université. Et j'ai dû faire beaucoup plus de travail en français qu'en anglais ou en espagnol. Et toi, Lindsay?
Français pour moi, parce que j'enseigne français, donc c'est pas très difficile de parler comme ça. Mais oui, nous pouvons parler en français si quand vous voulez.
D'accord. Oui, je crois que... Si je compare l'espagnol avec le français, je crois que je domine beaucoup mieux le français que l'espagnol. Parce que l'expérience que j'ai eue en France, c'est que j'ai étudié à la Sorbonne et j'ai dû faire énormément de progrès pour les travaux écrits et aussi pour pouvoir parler d'un certain niveau très formel avec les professeurs. Et aussi... Quand je commençais à donner des cours d'anglais des affaires, il y avait beaucoup de stagiaires qui me demandaient souvent comment je traduis ça, comment je peux écrire ceci mieux. Bon, en anglais, ça veut dire ça, et qu'est-ce que ça veut dire en français? Donc, il fallait chercher du vocabulaire des affaires. Les courriers, il fallait toujours rédiger très formellement pour dire « Monsieur, bonjour, j'ai... » je vous écris pour confirmer notre rendez-vous demain à 15h. Je vous en prie d'agréer mes meilleurs sentiments. À demain.
Moi, j'ai fait mon cours en français le plus intensif. C'était un cours de secrétaire trilingue. Due to that, however you say that in French, À cause de ça, there's a fancier way of saying it I was looking for. À cause de ça, tout mon français, le français des affaires est mon mieux français. Et l'espagnol, c'était espagnol des affaires. Et l'anglais, c'était business English. et c'est un peu différent. Et après, quand j'ai déménagé, et j'ai commencé à vivre en Angleterre. J'ai appris que mon français en grammaire, en structure, c'était plus solide que le français des autres étudiants qui ont venu de passer une entière année en France, mais il me manquait tout le vocabulaire de la vie quotidienne. des boulangeries vocabulaires.
D'accord. Y si pasamos un poquito al español, yo creo que el español que yo tengo aquí en México es más de esa vida, el vocabulario de esa vida cotidiana. Y lo que me falta es todo el vocabulario que tenía en la universidad en París. Entonces, todo lo que es como hablar formalmente, pues no lo tengo. No estudié en una universidad aquí en México. Entonces, es, más bien paso el tiempo hablando español con, bueno, la familia de mi esposa. O hablo con taxistas, recepcionistas de oficina, cajeras en el supermercado o el banco. Y pues no es una conversación muy alta, podemos decir.
Sí. ¿Y vives en México ahora? ¿Durante cuánto tiempo?
Llevo 7 años aquí en México. Ah. Sí, estaba en París 6 años y aquí llevo 7.
¿Cómo es? En la Ciudad de México, ¿verdad?
Sí, en la Ciudad de México, sí, sí. Es un caos total, pero me encanta porque la vida es muy dinámica, sobre todo si comparo los negocios, como decía, las clases que tenía en París, todo estaba programado como 2 meses adelante. Si estamos en abril, la gente me decía del planning de la escuela que, ok, en junio podemos tal vez agendar una cita con Jonathan, ya tiene ocupado su mes. Pero en México todo es al último momento, todo es urgente, todos quieren el trabajo para ayer, te cancelan una hora antes de la clase. Para dar las clases offline es difícil, y por eso yo creo que hace 2 años tuve que abandonar las clases de inglés y tomar un trabajo de oficina de traducción en Ernst & Young. Entonces, hacía traducciones de español al inglés, pero no es mi pasión las traducciones. Lo que me encanta es enseñar. Y entonces era una muy buena noticia que me despidieron hace 2 meses. Gracias a eso ya estoy en línea ahora sí, y para dar las clases y para ver si puedo continuar aprendiendo los idiomas y enseñando los idiomas.
Yo entiendo todo, ustedes.
Muy bien.
Wow, wow. Ça c'était le plus longue pièce d'espagnol que j'ai entendu il y a 10 ans.
Okay.
Outside of reggaeton and el zumba.
Könnt ihr
Deutsch? Kann einer von euch Deutsch? Du kannst Deutsch, Lindsay, ja. Auch, ne?
Da?
Ja, ein bisschen.
Ja, ich habe Deutsch auch gelernt, aber das war in der Universität.
In Frankreich?
Wie viel? Nein, in Kalifornien. Aber das war 13 Jahre. Jetzt ich will auf Russisch sagen, Nazad. Wie sagt man? Das war 13 Jahre.
Du sagst, das ist 13 Jahre her.
Das ist 13 Jahre
her. Ja, das ist 13 Jahre her. Das ist eine ähnliche Konstruktion wie im Spanischen, oder?
Vielleicht.
Na gut.
Ilja.
Und das ist 13 Jahre her. Her ist eine, weißt du, Deutsch ist eine Sprache, die du, eine von den Schlüsseln, weißt du, Schlüssel, Tür auf, Schlüssel, ist für Deutsch, ist, dass man die Prefixes und die, vor allem die Prefixes versteht. Und wenn man diese ganzen, und das ist ganz schlimm, denn das sind alles sehr kleine Wörter. Ab, an, her, auf, zu, mit, die sind alle so klein und es sind Prepositions und man denkt, oh, nee. Aber sie bauen so viele zusammen mit anderen Wörtern. Und das ist, für mich ist das der Schlüssel, le clé, zum Deutschen. Oder einer von den Schlüsseln.
Ich denke, dass ich habe gestanden, aber mein Deutsch ist so schlecht. Nein, ich verstehe, aber ich kann nicht gut antworten.
Ja,
da,
ja.
Ja. Ja.
Das kenne ich von Spanisch.
Mhm,
ne? Aber wie cool, ja. Also ihr zwei, ich glaube, ihr zwei müsst mehr Deutsch lernen.
Ihr zwei. Was ist ihr zwei?
Ihr zwei heißt Jonathan und Lindsay. Zwei.
Ihr zwei.
Like you two.
Ihr zwei. Ah, ihr
zwei.
Okay,
you two guys.
Ja, genau. Okay.
Yeah. Which is one of the most German things I could have possibly said. Like, you guys must learn more German.
We should. I'm glad you brought up the prepositions, because I would like to play a game with the two of you. And this is a special thing I had in mind for Lindsay, and I hope the two of you are going to like this. So here is a editable spreadsheet. I'm going to see if I can get a screencast-o-matic.
Phrasal verbs!
So I'm going to start to see if I can record the screencast of this, and then we can show people a little bit of this phrasal verb tic-tac-toe game I invented about 10 years ago for my students. So, and why do I bring this up? Because Lindsay has like a really wonderful course on Teachable about learning phrasal verbs through stories. So what we're gonna take a look at here, if I can get my screen set up here, just one second, is a tic-tac-toe board that is designed for playing use with phrasal verbs. So what we got here is we have all these prepositions that are on there: on, down, over, along, across, apart, into, out, etc. And we're going to do this as a three-person game. So the objective is to get as many lines of three together. So if you could get like up, out, apart, that would be one line. If you could get at, to, without into one line, that would work. But the trick here is you have to select a base verb. So if you had to use go, you would combine go with one of these prepositions. But as soon as you use go, you can't use go anymore. So go gets eliminated from the deck of possible verbs that we could use. So, and then if we have look, you can only use look one time. So you have to be careful which verbs you use. So some of these cells may become dead if you can't think of a phrasal verb. So.
Okay.
So.
And how many do we have to get in a row?
Three. Three in a row. Three. And whoever gets the most three in a row wins. And there's a lot of strategy that goes into this. So you have to choose your cells wisely. So there gets some competition when I played this with two students. So it'll be fun to see how the two of you play this out. But
do we have a go each, or like do we?
Yes, yeah, so you each have a go. Yeah, you take turns. You take turns, and so I'm going to flip a mental coin. Kirsten, tell me heads or tails.
Tails.
Okay, I was thinking heads. Okay, Lindsay, you have the choice of going first or choosing who goes first.
Ooh, okay, I'm gonna go first then. I'm going to go here, and I'm going to say talk through.
Okay, can you type
talk someone through something?
Through?
Okay. There we go.
Okay, and why don't you give that a color? I think you like yellow.
Do you think? There you go, yellow. Woohoo.
Okay, Kirsten, you can go.
Oh, I see. Oh, sorry, I'm so thick. Now I understand how this game works. So do I have to do the same thing with talk?
Talk is now eliminated. You can't use talk anymore.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's easy then. Okay. Right.
But you want to get groups of threes.
I thought
so.
We were looking for one base verb with three prep, with three...
Oh, no, necessarily. No, the idea is to eliminate verbs and to... This forces you to start thinking of how many phrasal verbs you know. It really forces you to kind of work on the vocabulary
building. Well, bearing in mind that I've never studied phrasal verbs, I've studied pretty much everything else in English, but I'm just going to go with the top corner then, because I'm that confident.
Okay, and give yourself a color.
So my verb would be look, and I'm going to pick a nice fluent blue.
Can you use that in a sentence?
Well, there is the verb onlookers. So there must be there's the noun onlookers, right? So there were many onlookers when there was an accident.
So they were looking on.
Yeah, and you
on.
Can't just say we can't just stand by and look on.
Can you confirm that, Lindsay, for me?
Yeah, that works.
Okay.
You say.
Is this just
because
I'm a foreigner?
Looking on.
No, I'm just making sure it's not a British expression that I'm not familiar with, because that's the one thing I had to learn when I was in Paris. I had to learn British isms.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so, okay, you've got one apiece, and I'll speed this up. I'm going to steal the middle of the board, because that's where all the magic happens.
Oh my god, I've only just understood how this game works. Oh my god.
Okay.
I can't believe I just picked that one. Oh god. Okay.
It's a learning experience. Okay. Stand out. Stand out of what that
I have
would be.
Such a good one. I can't wait.
Okay. So, Lindsay, your turn.
Okay, can we have diagonal? Can we win diagonally?
Yeah, you can do all the things you would do in tic-tac-toe. Just,
okay, then. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go... how can I... I'm going to go here, and I'm going to say... Oh, what haven't we used? We've talked... Look at us now. I can't think of any off the top of my head.
Is it that you can't think of a polite one?
Oh, I've got one. Come across.
Oh.
As in, he comes across as a nice person.
Are you talking about me?
No. No. Well, you don't come across as a bad person, so I guess maybe.
Okay. Your turn, Kirsten.
All right. Well, seeing as Lindsay has kind of backed me into a corner here, and there's only one box I can take, even though I had such a good over word. But, I don't care. I don't care about winning. I care about words. I want to say...
You're too noble.
I want to say, give over.
Lindsay,
can you give over?
Yeah.
Okay, you're teaching me vocabulary now.
It's a... The way I know it, it's like an East Lancashire, Blackburn, Bolton thing. So it's a Lancashire, it's a northern. I have one friend who uses this, and it makes me giggle every time. It's so funny, and it's kind of like, oh, just shut your mouth, or just stop it. It's kind of like that. And what you say is, give over.
Okay.
But also, I think it's used when if someone says something that it seems very shocking or you don't believe, and you kind of go, give over. I've heard it used like that as well.
It's like the American, the American teenage, shut up!
Okay.
It kind of does that. So that's give over. And every time I hear it in my mind, I hear it in this in a Bolton accent.
Or even a no way.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Give over.
Okay. Oh, okay. You're teaching me vocabulary now. Thank you. Okay, I will say I got off the bus. So again, I'm a terrible host. I'm stealing all the good.
Yeah, but you're letting Lindsay win there. That's stuff. Really good. Kind of you.
Yeah, if I can think of one that goes with into. See, this is hard because I made my course the other way around to this. So if they were the other way, I could be like, pew, 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 pew. Let me think. Into.
Oh, and you're not allowed to use to get now.
I've got one. Walk into. As in, he walked right into that one.
Oh, nice.
Yeah?
Okay. Da-da-da-da. There's that to be some special music that you've gotten. One. Okay.
I won.
Well, no, not yet. There's still the boards. Keep going. You've gotten one.
Oh, my goodness.
We're getting multiple lines.
Oh,
okay.
Maybe I should sacrifice that corner then. Right, let's get trickier about this one then. I'm going to go with Away and think of this beautiful film, the Ghibli film, Spirited Away. I'm going to pick Spirit Away.
Whoa, Spirit Away. Again, you're teaching me new vocabulary. This is crazy.
It's like when you say something's been spirited away, it's kind of like hidden or, you know, someone's just kind of... It's like magicked away. I can't describe it.
Interesting.
But there's a film, called Spirited Away, so it's a word, it counts. Because films never misuse language.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Japanese ones.
Okay. So it's my turn now? Or wait, no, is it Lindsay's turn? Wait, whose is it? My turn?
Your turn.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, you did walk into. Okay. Now, I will call you back.
No, you won't. That's...
Okay, so it's one apiece, except for Kirsten. Okay.
Kirsten, who just doesn't... I'm not playing that game anymore.
You're the rebel and the questioner
at the same time. Right at the top. Right at the top as well. How? Okay. Okay. I'm not going to ask why. You didn't know the rules, Kirsten. It's okay. Don't worry.
It literally took me about 20 minutes to understand how this works.
Let me see. Okay. I'm going to say go without.
I can't believe we hadn't had go yet.
I'll go without.
Yeah, we hadn't played go. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I'll go without something.
Right. I'm waiting for my board to update. Okay. Right. Am I allowed? Oh, shoot, hang on. I was going to say walk on by, but Lindsay's already had walk.
Yeah, there's walk. Yeah,
yes, I have. You can't steal my square.
I can't steal your square because I'm... No, no, can I just run that by you?
Yeah, okay.
You ran it by me and we said no, sorry. Don't steal that square as well.
Well, it depends on which one you're talking about.
Oh no, you're in the square underneath. Oh, that's okay, yeah, go there.
I want to use something with on too.
I was looking at that and I thought that onto is one of the, it's so transitive, it's kind of difficult to.
Yeah, it's, to figure out like what is a specific one that's by itself.
I'm just going to give you a 5 minute ding ding that I've got to go in about ding, 10
ding.
Minutes.
Oh, okay. Okay. Or, and then in that case I'll take the, what else square? I'll just do a side.
Although I'll joyfully win and beat you all at this game.
Have we used set? No, set aside.
Nice, okay.
Ooh, good one.
Just to speed up the game, okay.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to say... two, let me think. I can't think of one. Oh, we've had go. Oh no. Okay, I'm gonna say grow apart. I'm going to move to a new section of the board and attempt to make some traction in this empty corner.
Yes.
Nice one. Right, I'm going to work on my little existing, I don't know, what's this, corner, and go for pull up.
Okay.
Ooh.
For the exercise?
Yeah, a bit of fitness
vocab
there.
And if you want to be a great language learner, you have to put in the work. Okay, so I'm not a very good host. I got two.
You're winning. Okay. Along. I feel like this is a good one. Along. We've got go. Go along. Get along.
No, we have get.
We've got get.
What? Oh. Okay. Along. No. Wow, what goes with along?
Okay.
Maybe I won't go for...
Am I allowed to give you one?
Yeah.
Go on then.
I totally don't care about winning this game. You could have sing along.
Sing along.
Yeah, that's nice.
I'm going to add that in. Sing along.
We should do a Shakira sing along.
You can do that after I've gone.
Sing along. Okay.
Okay. And where are you going to go? You use the one for down. I mean, give yourself one.
Go on. Give yourself a point.
Okay. I'm gonna pick the onto, maybe. Onto is a funny one because I don't feel like there is anything that really makes it a... Because onto, like, is not on, really. So you kind of... I feel like I want it to be on. But it's onto. So I'm just going to say hop, because that's what you do with onto.
Yeah, this is the tricky thing with phrasal verbs is you with this game, you start to do a lot of analysis of, like, is that a adverb?
Isn't...
Or is this a preposition? Does this really change the meaning of that verb? Is it specifically...
Well, it's just that onto isn't a preposition. Is it not in the same way that all the others are?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's... And the reason why, as a German speaker, is because it's kind of like into, is that it triggers a case, right?
Mm-hmm.
In a way that sing-along doesn't, because you've got sing-along can stand by itself. So it's that transitiveness that's really weird. However, I watch a lot of the yoga videos, and the yoga lady always says, hop onto the mat, let's get started. So... I think that counts. Also, I kind of want that square now.
You've got one, by the way, if you go for that square.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom. You've got a point.
I know. So if you give me the against, I've got two.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you have to give the against. We're not just going to give it to you.
I'm not going to play against that.
Okay, so... Hop onto. I'm kind of out of options here to get more. Well, I'll just get talk to. Is that really? Does that feel like a phrasal verb?
Talk to. I would say no.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we've got talk through.
Oh, we have talk. Oh, yes. Very good eyes. This is a tricky one, too.
It's a tricky one off the top of your head, isn't it, this one?
Did we use look? Yeah, we did look. I'm starting to draw blanks now.
What about cling to, if you say, like, when someone clings to an idea?
Yeah, okay, yeah, we're collaborating.
I like
okay.
cling to, that's nice and lyrical.
Yeah.
Cling to, okay. So this board is about getting close to finished.
Yeah, not much yellow action together. I'm going to have to steal this. Like, someone stole mine. Kirsten.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well,
see, about could be a
that's
good...
That's what they all say.
About could be a good preposition for this. It's not in here at all, is it? About.
Oh. Against. I've got against. Let me think. Oh. Okay. Hold. We haven't got hold yet, have we? Hold it against someone. Making it a bit fuller. Hold it against someone. Oops. Or hold against.
I like hold. That's good. Okay.
I still don't have a trio, though. I'm working on it.
Right. Yeah, I think I'm out of this, but I'm going for count four.
Yeah, it counts for something.
Yeah.
Hey-oh. Whoop, whoop.
see. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Apologize for all the buzzing. That's all my phone reminders going off. One of them is not time sensitive. It's just going, take the bin out.
This one reminds me of a joke that my late uncle used to tell me of. If he would go up to women at a bar and would say, if I told you you had a beautiful body, would you hold it against me?
Yes, hold it against. It's a line in a Britney Spears song as well.
It's a 70s song. It's like like the German Schlager genre. It's kind of in that style. It is in English. But it's, if I said you had a beautiful body, would you hold it against me? Do you not know that one?
No, I haven't heard that one, actually.
Well, I'll have to Google it for the show notes.
If you do show notes
on this crazy show.
I will. I mean, I'm in the process of developing that aspect in this stuff. But yes, maybe we'll make like a karaoke of Spanish hits. And maybe the two of you can give us your top five favorite language learning songs, like songs that you have learned in a foreign language that you thought were really cool to help you. Because I think you had one of them for like Portuguese that I was listening to you talk about. I forget what it was, but I had heard it on the radio, and then you mentioned it in the podcast.
You too.
And I listened to it.
However you say it.
Yeah, I have two big ones for Portuguese. I say Eu Te Pego.
Yeah, that one. I remember you
that
talking
one?
And then I heard that on the radio. I'm like, oh, why did I turn this on? I can't get this out of my head.
Yeah, it's so catchy. And Danza Caduro is another one. There's kind of Spanish and Portuguese.
Total Zumba song.
Which is fun.
Total Zumba track.
Yeah.
Love it.
Proper sort
my God.
Zumba genre. What else do I love? Obviously Shakira, but I picked just one song. They're not great for language learning, Shakira, necessarily. They're good for the immersion and finding the thing you love, I think.
I think the going back to the playlist would be a good one here, because we funnily enough, we talked about music in the upcoming episode of the Creative Language Learning Podcast, episode 38. Amazing topic. I think we had a lot of fun recording that one today. And part of it covered music, so we dug out our episode, the live episode that we did last year, European Day of Languages, and Lindsay made this amazing playlist for it. So I'm just going to give you the link to that one.
And, well, to wrap up this game soon, well, because I think you're going to have to get going soon, Kirsten, we're going to have to part with you. So.
Ah, see what you did there.
Nice move. Nice move.
But you did steal my square. So I'm not sure this is turning out too well.
Oh, look,
for me.
I get one now, though, whichever way we go, as long as I can think of words.
Oh.
Nice.
There is round two. Well,
nice move,
there
Mrs.
Is round
Table.
Two. Yeah.
But it's your turn, Lindsay, isn't it?
Is it my turn? Because I don't get any. I am going to... Oh, we've used all the good verbs.
We can use the lesser known verbs.
Settle down.
Settle
down.
Oh, you took her spot. Okay.
Yeah, I've got plenty of spots, though, if you look closely.
Yeah, they're all her spots.
They are all my spots. Unfortunately.
Well, I have zero spots. I have one.
But you've got a four across, which I think should count for extra.
I will take that into consideration.
All right, let me think. At... See, again, that strikes me as a verb plus preposition rather than a phrasal verb. Not that,
but if you take,
not that I'm
if
a questioner
look,
or anything.
If you do look at, yeah. But if you do look at, it is different from look.
See,
by
in
itself.
My mind, I was kind of going to scream at, but that's not really, that doesn't add anything, you know?
It is slightly different than scream.
Slightly.
I'm going to scream. I'm going to scream at. Well, you need an object, though.
Correct. Yeah.
Or a person.
Which is why I feel it doesn't necessarily make it a phrasal verb. Not that I know exactly what phrasal verbs are, staring, as I haven't really taught English. I don't think. I've always been, you know, I've always just decided to teach German.
I've used the verb, but a good one here would be talk. You could say talk at someone, because when you talk at someone, it's different to when you talk to
them.
That's
true. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Or throw.
But I've...
Throw. Yeah, that's a good one. Like, if you throw a rock at somebody, it's different from throwing it to them.
I think that's just the intrinsic difference between at and to, though. Not that I'm questioning or anything. Okay.
Play the game, Cable.
Sorry.
Don't question the rules, just play the game.
I don't know, I can't think now. Right, okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go with forward, and I'm going to say pay it forward, because that's a lovely, lovely spirit.
Yeah. I was going to say pay
it
forward.
Yeah, pay forward's nice, isn't it? It's a nice expression.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Cool. And you have another one there. You have pull up, count forward, pay it forward.
Yes, that's right.
You have one. You have one. Okay.
I've got two. Because I have...
Where's the other
one? Run by spirit away.
Run by spirit. Oh, you've got two.
Mine
totally,
they totally snuck in.
Wow. We're tied for first place.
We played tic-tac-toe at my wedding, you see.
Oh. And I think Lindsay's got an honorary... One with a four in a row. So, and I'll
that
end
counts
this
as
one.
Two, right?
Yeah, I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yay!
It's technically, yeah, it's talk through, walk to, into, come across, and it's walk into, come across, grow apart. So they're.
And
they're
I particularly
and I
love grow apart as a. I think that's a really good choice of phrasal verb. Actually, all of the, you know, come across, talk through. I think these are so good. I think they should count extra.
Okay.
What do you want from me?
I'm
what
just
do you want from
being
me, Kirsten?
Nice. I'm just, you know, paying it forward, love.
You're paying it forward.
I'm paying it forward. Mm-hmm. Right. I'm really having fun, but I do apologize. I do have to get a move on today. My
yes.
apologies.
Well, I've taken up so much of your time, and I really appreciate you, the two of you, coming on the show. This has been so fun. And maybe after we stop the broadcast, maybe Linz and I might do round two. If you look at sheet number two, that is that's the one where Lindsay is probably going to beat me because of all her excellent preparation she did with her teachable course. So to wrap it up here, I just also want to say congratulations, Lindsay, for your 4 years. Of Lindsay Does Languages.
Thank you.
So,
thank you very much.
And I hope the many, many wonderful endeavors and projects and collaborations in the next 4 years. And just to say to both of you, you have a wonderful podcast together and you have a lot of wonderful presence online with the language learning communities in plural. And you're both power hitters for language learning and definitely people to look up to see for your example. So I really appreciate being able to network with the two of you and to learn from your experiences. And it's a pleasure to have both of you on the podcast.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Such kind
but
words.
We certainly, I think it's been a stroke of luck having Lindsay on the show. It's been really enjoyable, and I think it's added what I've always wanted that show to be, which is basically that friendly chat, and it's I think what sets the Creative Language Learning Podcast apart, and hopefully we're going to be able to keep going for much, much longer. Lindsay also brings, you know, behind the scenes, brings a level of organization to the show that kind of terrifies me, just by asking me, like, when are we doing this, when are we doing that? So really, it's more accountability at this stage for me to keep organized. But I feel like we've really stepped it up over the last 3 months. Our numbers are reflecting it. So we're actually reaching more people, which is so, so wonderful. And it's just, you know, it's so nice to hear back from people who enjoy the Creative Language Learning podcast. Really, really lovely. Shout out to the husband / fiancés behind the scenes who are helping us, keeping us sane.
Definitely. And if you're looking for a podcast editor, I could think of a few names. Hint, hint, wink, wink. But,
I think we're covered for now, thankfully.
But anyway, so I didn't get a chance to ask you that backstory of how the two of you met, but because I think, Lindsay, you wrote an article for a newspaper and you recommended the podcast?
Yeah, yeah. By which point, I think I knew Kirsten and we'd spoken, but not as much as we do now.
I think that was the first sort of behind-the-scenes conversation that we had, talking to The Guardian, which is it's a huge honour writing for them. It's our national newspaper here in the UK, one of our national newspapers. But Lindsay and I sort of...
Yeah, we don't just have one.
No, it's one of the better ones. I'd probably go out and say that, I guess. Although one just folded. The Independent just does no longer, they don't do print anymore. The Independent, they've just gone completely online. All of their staff are now with a different paper because they're probably one of the first victims of the digital age. Either way, so I think that was probably the first slightly more in-depth conversation that we had, where we sort of opened up and went, hey, is this happening to you? Yeah, how are you going about this? And we sort of connected as colleagues for the first time. And then you came on the show, or had you already been on the show at that point?
I don't think I had been on the show at that point.
It was still quite new, really.
It was still quite new, yeah.
So we don't know how we met. Yeah, there you go. We've only met in person once.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think I heard about eating some pancakes at Lindsay's house. I think I
heard that. Ah, yeah. Yes. That was for the Language Show Live. Because it's in London, so Kirsten came down to stay with me. Because I'm a little bit closer than Kirsten is.
That's right, London. That's right. Well, I am hoping to, or I'm trying to, basically I invite Lindsay to come to my house pretty much every 2 weeks, but because of where I live, she's not going to come anytime soon.
I think France and Slovenia are closer than Lancaster.
I think that is a,
it's the M6, it's such a horrible road.
I accept all that. But I'm behind the scenes, I'm hoping to host this massive Buffy watching marathon. And because it's one of my missions in life to make Lindsay watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which she hasn't seen yet. And that's just beyond me. It's the best show ever. And with those wise words, I'm going to be out. Because that's, I can't, there's, nothing follows this.
Yes, I think, yeah, nothing can top Buffy. Yes, we can't go beyond Buffy, so... I could keep talking to the two of you for hours, but I recognize that, yes, you both have your wonderful commitments and language endeavors. So thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure talking to both of you, and I'm pretty sure, I hope in the future there will be more opportunities to invite you on and to perhaps collaborate on some language learning project or webinar or I don't know, or... So I look forward to those possibilities.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
The pleasure. So we'll have to put a lot of stuff in these show notes, but the music, definitely, and all these links. So thank you again, once again, and I'll wrap up to say if anybody is interested in taking some English lessons with me or hearing more about my language from Mandarin, so you can visit my website at hugginsinternational.com. That's hugginsinternational.com. Or you can send me an email at hugginsinternational@gmail.com. And definitely check out lindsaydoeslanguages.com to hear more about Lindsay's language pursuits. And to check out fluentlanguage.co.uk to hear more about Kirsten. And to go on to that website as well, and I think it's /podcast at the end, to hear the episodes of the Creative Language Learning podcast. So... thank you once again, Kirsten and Lindsay. So, gracias, merci, obrigado, danke. Can you fill me in the Korean, Lindsay?
Oh, 고맙습니다.
And what about the other ones you do?
The 여러분 봐요.
Oh, Arigato gozaimasu. Sheshe. Oh, what else? Vala is in my head right now.
Kersenam Seipen for Chris Brolham living in Hungary. And what other ones do you have, Kirsten?
Well, I've got Welsh, that's Diolchenvaur. We do have Spasiba, Teşekkür ederim.
For Turkish.
Mm-hmm.
And Russian.
Yeah.
Okay. So on that note, thank you and goodbye.